is for the, and I just use the Aberdeen and Mitchell Exchange territories, is $38. And the Quest basic local service residential rate for the Aberdeen and Mitchell exchanges is $18.25 per month.
And could you tell us what the C in CLEC stands for?
The C in CLEC stands for competitive.
And competitive against who?
Competitive means competing against both the ILEC, the incumbent LEC, and any other CLEC that may be serving in the territory.
Based on those numbers you gave us, is Mid-Continent undercutting the Quest rates in the Mitchell and Aberdeen exchanges?
Yes, they are.
Objection to the question. The numbers speak for themselves.
Overruled.
And in your opinion, which CLEC in South Dakota is Midco most similarly situated to?
Considering customer served and considering the size of territory served, it's my opinion that Mid-Continent is more like Knowledge of the Black Hills, i.e. Prairie Wave of the Black Hills, previously known as Black Hills Fibercom. But keep in mind, it's also important to note that Mid-Continent is much larger than that. Than that entity. Mid-Continent is, as far as service territory and customer served, is the largest CLEC serving in South Dakota.
Have you read the pre-filed testimony of Mr. Simmons, Mr. Fisher, and Dr. Ankin?
No, I'm sorry, say again.
I just asked if he read their testimony.
Yes, I have.
And was there anything in particular in Mr. Simmons' testimony that you wanted to address?
I think besides what I already addressed in my pre-file testimony, I'd like to maybe focus a little bit on page 4, lines 8 through 10, where Mr. Simmons indicates that Midco is operating with switched access rates far below those of other CLECs operating in Midco communities. While I will acknowledge that there may be one or two exchanges in that complete list that Mr. Simmons read off this morning, the rest of the exchanges that were mentioned, of course, Quest has the Quest rate in those service territories, and any other CLECs serving in those territories have the Quest rates. So I believe that his testimony is maybe an exaggeration of the truth.
Anything else from Mr. Simmons' testimony this morning?
Yes, lines 9.
Objection, that's not responsive to any question.
What? Oh, this morning, did he have, if you responded to Mr. Simmons' testimony in your pre-filed, then you can address that later when we talk about your pre-filed. Was there anything Mr. Simmons discussed this morning?
You know, one thing I think it's important to note is that given the changes that this document has, that this docket has evolved into, one thing I noticed that was very important in Mr. Simmons' testimony this morning is he stated before the commission that overall he is seeking parity with other CLECs. I find that some of the follow-up testimony that was done later of Mid-Continent's witnesses maybe contradict that a little bit, but essentially that's exactly what staff has offered in my pre-file testimony and my recommendations. we offered and recommended parity with all CLECs. We offered, one of the things we recommended to the commission is that they mirror Quest in all the exchanges except for the exchanges where especially two other CLECs had a different rate. We recommended to the commission that they take the same settlement rate that we have in those other exchanges right now.
And then in Dr. Ancombe's testimony, which he had not pre-filed, or he did pre-file, but he didn't direct file. His was rebuttal. Would you care to address his testimony at this time?
Yes, I could. First of all, one of the things that Mr. Ancombe or Dr. Ancombe referred to is, I think they almost criticized staff for indicating that this was a permanent solution. By no means did staff ever intend for this to be a permanent solution. I think you will find in all the settlement agreements that the commission has approved and all orders granting permission to mirror Quest rate all talk about further commission action, further FCC action, and actually recommend and discuss effective dates and end effective dates. So I don't believe it was ever meant to be permanent. On pages 7 through 14 of his testimony, he discusses changes in market industry, market structure, changes in market power, all of this that no longer warrants CLECs switched access rates to be capped as the FCC did. For the South Dakota interstate jurisdiction, I don't think I could disagree any more with Dr. Ancombe's philosophy on that. And this docket itself is a prime example. Here today we have Mid-Continent Communications themselves complaining about how they are supposedly being unfairly treated as a result of a failing competitive market. The commission staff and the commission has been approving staff's settlements and all this, but we've been aggressively addressing these issues. And when we get to the point when we're just about fully complete with getting all CLECs mirroring the Quest rate, Mid-Continent themselves turns around and appears before this commission and is doing exactly what Dr. Ancombe says isn't happening in today's new market. Mid-Continent themselves is the single biggest CLEC in South Dakota. They have the largest service territory. They serve the largest number of customers in South Dakota. Based on the cost supports that Mid-Continent has provided and based upon the cost supports that I have seen in many other CLEC switched access cases, I think it's very safe to say that Mid-Continent is probably one of the lowest costs when it comes to switched access as far as what their costs are. But yet today, Mid-Continent is here asking for the highest rate. In my opinion, that is a prime example of trying to force monopoly power onto IXCs. The other thing that's important to note about that is this commission has seen time and time again over the years where big-name IXCs who serve many customers in South Dakota have either threatened to pull out of South Dakota or have quit marketing in South Dakota, leaving South Dakota customers with fewer choices in their IXC for IXC service. And they have done this primarily because of South Dakota's high intrastate switched access rates. I don't believe South Dakota's telecommunication industry can tolerate this short-term viewpoint of raising switched access rates to maximize revenues in the short run. I don't believe it's in the best interest of the telecommunication industry in South Dakota. Additionally, on page 13, line 19, through page 14, line 7, Dr. Ankrum tries to associate the switched access industry with the airline industry. In his testimony, he states that the airline industry will offer a competitive airline ticket in order to compete. And when doing that, they will win customers. But then they turn around and charge exorbitant amounts for bathroom access on those flights. He indicates that the customer will naturally migrate away from that airline and find another competitive airline. And I agree with that analogy. However, it appears that he's trying to liken that to the switched access industry, when in fact the difference between that is in the switched access industry, the customer is paying for the airline ticket. However, it's the IXC who is paying for bathroom access. The end user who is paying for that airline ticket is never going to directly see the cost of that bathroom access, and they're going to continue to migrate toward their cheapest cost local exchange carrier. And then if that carrier has higher rates for switched access, the IXC is going to continue to pay those higher switched access rates. I guess I just don't believe that was a very good analogy, because it doesn't explain. And I myself have tried to find analogies, and I can't find another analogy that fits switched access. You know, I know he used the used car dealership and the new, that was done in a little different concept, but the analogies just don't fit. This is very unique. Additionally, on page 18, lines 3 through 5, Dr. Ankrum, I think he's trying to state that the Quest rates are not comporting with the commission rules. That I truly disagree with. The Quest rates that are filed with this commission were filed and approved pursuant to South Dakota law and ARSD 2010-27 through 29. Additionally, on page 29 through 31, Mr. Ankrum takes about three pages and talks about cross-subsidization. It's true that staff is concerned with cross-subsidization, but not in the direction that Mr. Ankrum is concerned with. Staff is concerned with cross-subsidization going the other direction. And again, I relate back to the fact that if the CLEC's costs are truly higher than the ILEC, then it stands to reason that the CLEC's prices for all services probably should be higher than the ILEC's costs, than the ILEC rate to properly recover all of its costs. If the CLEC is undercutting the competitive service to win the customer, it could be an indication that they're not recovering their costs. If they're undercutting the local exchange rate, they may not be recovering their costs for local exchange. And therefore, possibly having to make it up someplace else. The analogy of then charging higher switched access rates leads to the concern of cross-subsidization, and we actually have a South Dakota law, SDCL 4931-4, which states that companies cannot subsidize a competitive service with a non-competitive service, i.e., local service rates cannot be subsidized by switched access rates.
And then I just have a couple questions on his cost study, on the cost study, and then we'll go to his recommendation. Have you had an opportunity to review the cost study, which is exhibit
three. The cost study has been provided to staff. However, as discussed quite at length, or should I say argued quite at length this morning, was the fact that has staff reviewed it and should have staff reviewed it. The fact of the matter is that information was provided to staff at staff's request to a response to a data request in order to try and provide cost support information. On July, it was either July 14th or July 15th, a day before staff's testimony was due, we all of a sudden get a filing that puts that docket or puts that cost study before the commission. So therefore, staff has not had ample time, if hardly any time, to do any sort of review on that cost study.
Approximately how many cost studies have you reviewed?
Conservatively, 30 to 40.
And how long does that review normally take?
That all depends. As Dr. Ankrum mentioned, a lot of it has to deal with how well the company responds. I know that past history has shown that when staff has conducted reviews of a switched access cost study, it takes a long time, mainly because it takes, once staff issues a data request, then the company and the consultants have to respond to that. Once those responses are received, more questions become of it, and it tends to build on each other. I would say the average, when we were doing a lot of cost studies, the average was about 6 months. However, we have had cost studies opened 8, 9, 10, even in excess of 12 months before they were actually finalized. But I think according to commission, I can't state whether it's law or rule, but the commission can suspend rates for up to 180 days in two different settings, up to 180 days before the rates will come effective. If commission has not ruled on that docket by that time, rates can go into effect, but subject to refund with interest.
And can you name a docket, a cost study docket, wherein the rate that was initially filed ended up being the approved rate?
I cannot name or think of any cost study where the original cost asked for by the company and the consultant was approved by the commission. We have always, to my recollection, ended up with a lower rate.
And what issues, based upon your education and experience, should the commission look for as they review this cost study?
First of all, keep in mind that the cost study then itself, which I don't know if it's up here, this stack of papers right here, Exhibit 3, all that is essentially, on the surface, a bunch of numbers on a piece of paper. The cost study is what goes, the support for that cost study is the important part. What goes into the commission model and what goes into to all the formulas and the allocations that are used, what goes into the allocations. One of the first things that we ask for when we perform a review on a cost study is we ask for the audited financial statements of the company because that's our starting point. And I believe that's the starting point on Mid-Continents. They have their financial statements, GAAP accounting, and they flow that through all the way to come up with sheet A, which is the top sheet, which essentially spits out the rate. But there are many components within there besides these, and usually the support stacks up feet high for a cost study. Some of the things that staff spends a lot of time looking at are the allowable cost, what is and what isn't included in the cost study, what is and isn't allowable. We look at the separations procedures. We spend a lot of time looking at the allocations of costs. We look to see jurisdictional issues between states. We look at special access. It's just a volume of information that we look at and check to try and help identify that the appropriate information has been inputted into the study.
Do you recall, did staff ask Mid-Continent for its audited financial statements?
Yes, we did.
And what was the result of that?
Staff asked for Mid-Continent's audited financial statements in data request 1-10, and Mid-Continent objected to providing that information.
Is there anything left in your pre-file or rebuttal that we need to cover before we go to your recommendation?
I don't believe so. I believe we've probably covered it fairly well.
Okay. And has using GAAP as a starting point ever been done before in South Dakota?
On the telecommunication industry?
Telecommunications,
not that I am aware of.
Do you have a recommendation for the commission? Yes or no?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
I was thinking.
And based upon your education and experience, can you tell us what your recommendation is as to opening a CLEC switched access rulemaking docket?
I think first and foremost, the commission should certainly open another rulemaking docket. That rulemaking docket should be separate from the existing access rulemaking docket that we have opened today. I believe that the new docket should focus only on CLEC switched access to take care of some of these issues that are out there today. And solve these problems, whether it be temporary or whether it be permanent, to try and find a method of solving these problems so we don't have companies like Midco wanting to come in and raise their rates and other companies wanting to come in and change rates and abuse monopoly power. I think that needs to be addressed almost immediately.
And based upon your education and experience, can you tell us what your recommendation is as to whether an exemption should be granted to Midco pursuant to ARSD 2010-2711 through 2010-2713 from the requirement of ARSD 2010-07 to file a company-specific cost study?
Yes, I believe that the Commission should grant Mid-Continent a waiver from filing a cost study, just as it has done previously for Mid-Continent, just as it has done for most of the other CLECs with switched access rates in South Dakota.
And based upon your education and experience, Could you tell us what your recommendation is as to whether the commission should approve Midco's attempt at a cost study?
I believe without further review of the cost study, it would be inappropriate for the commission to approve the cost study and approve the 9.8-cent rate. I also, doing so would be much like a natural gas or an electric company coming in and filing a rate case, and the commission merely taking the company's word that everything in there is true, accurate, and complete, and raising natural gas or electric rates without thoroughly reviewing providing an opportunity for staff to come up with what they believe the appropriate rate is. I also believe that, in my opinion, that the commission should probably shy away from mandating CLEX from filing cost studies and maybe even allowing CLEX from filing cost studies for many of the facts that I've previously discussed. The big concern that I have in the back of my mind is if the commission allows Midcontinent to file a cost study and they approve that rate, we are going to have, in my opinion, many other CLECs that are going to be coming in to this commission and filing cost studies. As I stated earlier, based on the information that I've seen through other CLEC cost studies, we are going to see rates that far, far exceed the 9.8 cents that Midcontinent is asking for here today. And I believe that would only put Midcontinent in a worse situation than they are today. Again, Mr. Simmons talked about parity. If we allowed Midco to file a cost study and approved a rate and the other CLECs did it, we're going to see variances possibly in excess of 30 to 40 to 50 cents for the various CLECs. So I don't believe it would be a good idea to approve a filing or approve the switched access cost study.
And what switched access rates do you believe should be approved for Midco?
I believe the commission should approve and allow Midcontinent to mirror the Quest rate just as Midcontinent has asked in their previous two, if not three, filings before the commission.
If the exemption is not granted, then what action should the commission take?
That's kind of a tough question. If the exemption is not granted, essentially I believe that the commission has to allow Midcontinent to actually file their cost study, and then we go through the whole process of approving that cost study, which includes commission staff probably having to hire a consultant, which includes billing those costs back to Midcontinent, and suspending rates for possibly 180 days, and if they're implemented after that, and if the commission has not approved a rate, then those rates go into effect, subject to refund with interest. And believe me, a refund with interest is not a fun thing to do. But again, I believe that the commission should think very closely before they open the door to that, because all of the additional issues that could rise, because other CLECs filing cost studies, certainly other CLECs are going to be very reluctant. Excuse me. Other CLECs are going to be very reluctant to continue on the road of accepting the Quest intrastate switched access rate.
And then, as a final question, you and I had discussed this earlier. Based on the petitioner's testimony this morning, did you have another possible solution that the commission could consider?
I actually have a couple of things. One is just kind of recently come to me. I think the first one I really want to talk about is a recommendation that was mentioned in my pre-filed testimony, whether it be the direct or rebuttal, I don't recall. But again, Mr. Simmons talks about parity with other CLECs. One of the things that we discussed that we recommended, that I recommended in my pre-filed testimony, is to allow just that for the service areas where Mid-Continent is competing against either Quest or other CLECs, that Mid-Continent be allowed to follow those rates. Essentially, what I'm saying is if they too would accept the settlement rate regarding the Mitchell Telecom docket, that would allow them to have parity with those other CLECs, especially if staff is able to address the Northern Valley communications issue. But all of the other service territories where the other CLECs are at the Quest rate, they remain at that Quest rate. That provides parity to Midco. And it also puts them at a competitive advantage over Quest because, again, they're undercutting the Quest rate on the competitive service, but recovering more through switched access. And after hearing all of this testimony today, another option that came to mind, it certainly does have to be thought out probably a little farther, but what I hear from Mid-Continent is that they want to recover cost. What staff is arguing is that we need to send the proper price signals. So that's what we're juggling right here. That's what it boils down to. We want to send the proper price signals to the competitive user that shows that, yes, I am selecting a higher cost system when I select the CLEC, if in fact that is the case. So what I'm suggesting, another avenue that the commission could take is allow Midco to charge more than the Quest rate so long as the percentage that they are charging over the Quest intrastate switched access rate is not exceeding the percentage of their local rates. Now keep in mind, essentially what I'm saying there is if Mid-Continent's local rate is 10% greater than the Quest local rate, then they can have a switched access rate that is 10% greater. This sends the proper price signals to the end user customer that, yes, we have the CLEC in this case has a higher cost system, and the end user has to pay more for that system, but in return also allowing the CLEC to recover its switched access costs on an equal basis.
That would conclude staff's, or Mr. Sanger's testimony. Thank you.
Mr. Gerdes?
I don't remember. Was his pre-filed testimony introduced?
It was as part of the original stipulation.
It's true, is it not, Mr. Sanger, that The one of the overarching purposes of the 96 Act was to inject competition in the marketplace.
You asked me, is it true, is it not? Which one are you asking?
Is it true? It is true, is it not, that one of the overarching purposes of the 96 Act was to inject competition into the marketplace?
Please repeat the question one more time.
It is true, is it not, that one of the overarching purposes of the 96 Act was to inject competition into the marketplace?
Yes, that is true.
Thank you. And would you please tell me how your last recommendation furthers that purpose by suggesting to the Commission that they implement additional controls on the way that a company charges for its services?
Keep in mind, I'm not recommending that the Commission set local access rates. I'm just saying
May I finish?
Oh, go ahead.
Object to the answer. It's not responsive to the question asked.
Well, he didn't.
Move that it be stricken.
He actually never got an answer out, so I guess I don't know if it answered the question or not.
I don't think it was responsive, and I'm going to strike it. Why don't you re-ask the question, Dave, because I don't think he quite understood where you were coming from, if you would.
Is it not true that the last recommendation that you made, and that was to put a formula on this to permit Mid-Continent to charge the same percentage over Quest's switched access rate as its retail price is over the Quest's retail price? Isn't that contrary to the purposes of the 96 Act?
I'm only going to object in that they appear to be compound questions, and I'm just wondering, when you have started out, is it not true? Well, yes, it is not true, or no, yes, it is true. I'm not sure where one goes with that, but if you could just put it into segments that he could actually answer, I think would be helpful.
Well, thank you for the lesson in diction and sentence construction, but I believe the sentence construction was entirely appropriate.
Okay, it appeared to be a compound question, so maybe if you said it again, maybe I wouldn't pick it up that way.
Can I just ask you, Mr. Did you understand the question, Mr. Singer?
Absolutely not.
Could you carve it into two chunks, maybe start out with, is that what you did say, and then follow up with another question? Maybe in terms of, am I understanding correctly?
Let me ask it this way, Mr. Sanger. If I understood your last recommendation correctly, you were recommending that the Commission permit Mid-Continent to increase its switched access rates by the same percentage that Mid-Continent's retail rate exceeded the Quest retail rate.
I believe that is an accurate description, yes.
And can you tell me whether or not that is consistent with the purposes of the 96 Act?
I don't believe it would contradict the 96 Act.
Wasn't the purpose of the 96 Act to inject competition into the marketplace?
I believe the purpose of the 96 Act was to incent efficient competition.
So by establishing more rules, are you fostering competition?
I don't believe I was creating more rules.
Okay. I've never heard of the Commission entering an order restricting or permitting a person, a company, to charge a switched access rate that was higher than the incumbent switched access rate by the same percentage that the CLEX switched access rate, CLEX retail rate exceeded the incumbents rate.
I believe something very similar, not exactly the same, but similar is being done in California.
Well, let's confine ourselves to South Dakota, since that's what you were doing. Have you heard of anything like that in South Dakota?
No.
Thank you. You made the point that let me ask it this way. Have you ever heard of the commission approving rates for gas or electric companies that were below cost?
Yes.
Can you give me the example?
When Interstate Pipeline Company, I believe that's the proper name, came in to this commission prior to me being here, and I did not work on that docket, so I do not have all the details. But they were a new startup company, and they did not know what their volumetric output would be. So therefore, the commission staff recommended, and the commission approved, I think it would probably be a 10-year levelized rate. Thus, in the beginning years, the company was under recovering its costs. And I believe that has probably been done numerous times regarding switched access also. I mean, I think every CLEX settlement that we have that we referred to today is essentially that. The commission has approved a rate that's under their cost.
Does that mean they're going to go broke?
I can't tell you what's going to happen to those companies. If they made uneconomic decisions in starting their company, it could lead to that.
If I'm running a grocery store and my merchandise that I want to sell costs more than the income that I'm making, I'm pretty much assured of going broke, am I not?
There are way too many variables for me to answer that question. I do not know what you mean by going broke. I don't know how much capital you have. I don't know all of your other sources of revenue.
There were, I believe, no variables in that question. I asked you if the merchandise that I bought to resale cost more than the price I'm able to get for it when I'm selling it to my customers, am I not going to go broke fairly quickly if my income is not enough to make my costs?
I don't know if you're going to go broke or not, but you are certainly going to have a negative return on your investment.
Thank you. You recommended this switched access rulemaking confined specifically to CLEX. Do you recall that testimony?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell me how much progress has been made on the presently existing rulemaking that was started in 2005?
I believe that companies have filed comments. I believe that staff has asked for more industry participation in that docket, and I believe that's where it sits today.
And would it be true that it really has not gone anywhere since it was opened?
That is not true.
Well, I just looked at the website, I think it was night before last, and all the comments that were filed are quite old right now. It does not appear that anything has occurred.
And I guess I'm just questioning the relevancy of this matter.
You want to address that, Mr. Gerdes?
Pardon?
Do you have anything to say on that?
Well, I mean, one of his recommendations was that the commission established a separate CLEX switched access rulemaking, and my ultimate point is that if it goes like the one that has been existing since 2005, neither Midcontinent nor any other CLEX is going to get any relief very quickly.
I'll overrule the objection on that basis. Please proceed.
I think you asked me specifically, has that docket gone anywhere since it has been opened? And my response to that question is yes, it has gone somewhere since it's been opened. I will also agree and acknowledge with you that the comments filed are quite old.
Thank you very much. And what assurance do we have that this new rulemaking docket that you're proposing will go any more quickly?
I believe that is mostly up to industry. If industry wants that docket to move quickly, and if companies are actively engaging in the docket, I believe that docket would move much quicker than the existing switched access docket that we have before us today, because there are various reasons why that docket has not moved forward and that would not be involved in this docket if we did a separate and independent rulemaking.
Well, up until today, CLEX would have been under that same docket, would they not?
Myself, I really never envisioned that rulemaking to encompass CLEX. That rulemaking was opened specifically because of ILEC cost studies that were being filed.
Well, I know Midcontinent for sure was asked to file comments in that docket. I'm quite sure other CLEX also filed comments in that docket. Now, why on earth would staff ask for comments from CLEX if they didn't expect that it would apply to them?
I believe most of Midcontinent's, I believe a lot of Midcontinent's comments regarding that docket was coming from Midcontinent, the IXC, not Midcontinent, the CLEX.
Midcontinent, the IC.
IXC, the long distance carrier.
Right. Well, I thought that that rulemaking docket related to switched access rates.
Is that a question?
Right.
You thought
it does, doesn't it?
It does relate to CLEC. What, repeat the question if you would be so kind.
The pending docket relates to switched access rates for incumbent carriers, does it not?
For incumbent carriers, yes.
and for CLEX?
Generally speaking, I believe it could, but that was not, it's not my belief, the focus of what that docket was supposed to entail.
Well, right now, the commission rules, which were passed in 1993, relate to both, or at least are applied to both, CLEX and ILEX, are they not?
I believe they are, but whether or not they were intended to be that way is another issue.
What rules apply to CLEX switched access rates if these don't?
I don't believe we have any specific CLEX rules. I believe we have specific ILEC rules.
Well, certainly staff applies these rules to CLEX, do they not?
Generally speaking, yes.
Thank you.
I believe it's the commission who applies those rules more so than staff, though.
You made the point that what has been called the LECA-based cost study, the second cost study that Midcontinent performed, Exhibit 3 that's in front
okay.
of you. You made the point, and I realize that there's been testimony in several directions on this, but you made the point that the first time staff had seen that was just a couple months ago.
I don't, if I said seen, I probably used an incorrect word. The first time we had access to it, had an electronic copy available for us to look and to use.
Well, it was provided in data requests, responses, back, I believe, in
February 8th, 2008.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
A couple of months ago.
Well, that'd be more than a couple of months, wouldn't it?
Excuse me. 6 months ago.
Okay. I don't recall staff contacting Midcontinent and saying this was inadequate or anything like that, did you?
No, because we didn't review it for adequacy.
But you've sat here spending quite a bit of time criticizing it.
It's not that I criticized. I think I opened up questions that need to be answered. The only criticism I made is back in, I can't remember the date, sometime in 07, was it when QSI and Midcontinent showed us the 19-cent rate, and I criticized a few things in that one, and essentially that 19-some-odd-cent rate eventually came down to the 9.8 cents based on some of staff's criticism and some additional things that Midcontinent and QSI performed on that cost study.
And after you got the revised cost study that indicated the 9-cent rate, did you offer any other suggestions as to how to change it?
I did not.
You were talking about switched access rates, and you made the point that big-name IXCs had threatened to pull out of South Dakota. You remember that testimony?
Yes, I remember that.
Wasn't that back when it was like 12, 13, 14 cents, if I remember back in those days?
Well, right now the LECA rate is 12.5 cents. The LECA rate is 12.5
right.
cents. So, you know, if you're saying 12, 13, 14 cents, it's probably still happening today.
But my point is there wasn't anything lower than 12. This was back in the days when the many of the rural local exchange carriers were charging quite a bit more than they are now.
You know, I don't believe that I can testify to that because I believe several of those companies, the AT&Ts, the MCIs, the Sprints, have been arguing, complaining for well beyond the years when we exceeded 12, 13, 14 cents.
Yeah. Okay.
They were complaining prior to reaching that rate.
True, is it not, that during the course of this docket that Mid-Continent has met with staff on several occasions and tried to educate staff as to what they were doing? That'd be correct, wouldn't it?
That is correct.
I mean, we're here in an adversarial proceeding, and that's unfortunate, but the point here is that Mid-Continent has been making an effort for probably the last year and a half to find some way to obtain some relief from its present situation as it relates to switched access. Wouldn't that be a fair statement?
Just as staff has been working very hard
okay.
with Mid-Continent to achieve those same goals.
And I'll accept that. I understand this, but Dr. Ancombe has made the point that the quest rate isn't necessarily the correct rate, and to pick that out as a goal is perhaps contrary to what is intended by the Act. You're familiar with that testimony. You've read that.
I am familiar with that.
And I take it you disagree with that.
Not 100%. I don't disagree with that.
Okay. And the ultimate goal is not to have any specific rate in mind, but to permit the marketplace to dictate that. Isn't that true?
If the market is adequately performing and incenting efficient and economic competition, then yes, the goal is to let the market do its job.
And I've been told on several occasions by members of staff that while Quest's switched access rates are around 6, that their costs would actually show something that is 12 cents or maybe even a little better than that. Is that correct?
Quest has provided cost support information that does suggest that.
Okay. So somewhere along the line, Quest may very well be back in here asking for greater switched access rates. Is that possible?
I believe it's more likely if the CLECs they are competing against have switched access rates that are higher than theirs.
Well, and when you say higher than theirs, you're talking about the 6 cent rate or the 12 cent rate?
6 cent rate.
Okay, but their actual costs are 12, right?
Who's
or
actual
somewhere
costs?
In there, U.S. West. Quest, excuse me, Quest.
I don't believe any. Go ahead, Karen.
If I could object, we're speculating on what Quest rates could be or should be or may be, when in fact they're 0.06042, which is a commission order. And I believe he stated, they did a very, staff did a very cursory review of that. And I let that go. But anything further than that seems speculative.
Well,
do you have a response?
I asked the question and Mr. Sanger answered it. I think I'll leave it at that.
Okay, I'm going to overrule it just because we've had a lot of the testimony in this has been somewhat philosophical in nature. I think.
I don't think I answered when he said anything about 12 cents. That was his last question. He was talking 12 cents. I never answered that. I started and Karen and I were back and forth.
Okay. Do you want to repeat your question, Mr. Beers?
I have heard.
I believe he said his question was answered, so.
Go ahead and repeat your. Can you read it back, please, Sherry? Can I ask you too, Sherry? Is it about break time, do you think? Are you okay? Okay.
I apologize. I may have shortened up my question, making an assumption that we had communicated on another question and answer. I had started out by saying that I've been told by staff on many occasions that Quest's actual cost figures would indicate something more than 6 cents, and that it, in fact, is somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 or more cents. And I thought you agreed with that.
You never said anything about 12. Your question asked me if staff has information regarding whether it's higher than 6. If you're asking me to testify regarding the 12, I cannot testify to that.
Something substantially more than 6. In any
I event. Wouldn't say substantially more than 6, no.
Okay. Higher than 6.
Greater than 6, yes.
Thank you.
Cost support information.
Right.
It's not a cost study, and it was never approved.
Dave, maybe, pardon me to interrupt, Mr. Gerdes, but if you've got quite a bit more, I don't know, might it be an appropriate time to take a break if
That'd
you're
be fine.
Getting yourself organized there?
That'd be fine.
What do you say, a 10-minute break, commissioners? Okay, will it be in recess till 1:45 or thereabouts?